is Southside.
Now, it's fair to say that when we talk about greyhounds in general, we think, ah, wonderful. And they are. They're intelligent, they're well-formed, they're coordinated, but they retire like the best of us. And in many ways, there are lots of wonderful greyhound trusts that we've featured in past visits to shows like the Lincolnshire Show and the Great Yorkshire Show and the Newark and Notts Show. They're very crucial to this whole thing, particularly as they are favourite being one of the Lincolnshire Greyhound Trusts. Now, an event that's being set up for that is being put together by the fabulous Sharon Lake. This, I believe, resounds under the joys of Long Nose Day. We say those magical words. Sharon Lake, are you indeed there?
I am.
Hey, fantastic. So, Sharon, talk to us about this thing called Long Nose Day, which presumably has got nothing to do with Pinocchio.
No, it hasn't. But it's predominantly being organised around the greyhounds.
Excellent.
And other sight hounds. Of course, all of whom have slightly longer noses than the average dog.
I see where you're coming from here, Sharon. This is good.
But, as I say, branding is everything.
Yeah, indeed.
But we've now been running this for... this will be our seventh year of running this show. And it runs over the whole coming weekend, which is the 16th and 17th of June.
Excellent.
On the 16th, we only have classes for greyhounds, but the main event really takes place on Sunday the 17th, where we have classes for greyhounds. We also hold qualifying stakes for lurchers, and although that might not mean a lot to most dog people, it does mean that the winner of this particular round then goes on to the championships that are held at the Chatsworth Country Fair each year.
You've mentioned, obviously, the wonderful lurcher there. We followed the lurcher trials a few years ago, actually, back at the old Lowther Country Fair, when it used to actually take place on the Lowther horse trials, effectively, before rain actually saw to it, really. And as you mentioned, the Chatsworth Country Fair in September is, in many ways, the Olympics of the lurcher world, isn't it?
It is, yes, and a tremendous amount of fun just to actually sit down and watch, especially, obviously, if you're interested in dogs of any shape and form. Mm. Although, you know, lurchers, it is sort of like their pinnacle of the year. There are lots of other dogs to actually watch and see actually how they perform in a more of a working environment.
They're always amazing. I mean, the lurcher, again, in terms of intelligence, I know that there are some people, myself included, in the early days who thought the lurcher was a sort of Chaz and Dave routine, as in lurcher. No, that was gurcher. Different line entirely. But in terms of that, in terms of breeding, they have a relationship with the greyhound, though, don't they? Are they a kind of offshoot genetically of something?
Well, lurchers are predominantly, they should be... a cross or a mix of a purebred sight hound along with any working dog. So that could be terriers, collies. Mm. I've got a lurcher myself and he's a greyhound collie cross. Mm. But the whole mix can be actually quite varied.
Yeah.
And sometimes you'll have, you know, maybe a deerhound greyhound cross who then is actually mated with some that's maybe a greyhound collie cross. So there's quite a variety of different sizes and coats, and obviously the intelligence that goes with that.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, frequently the accusation that's levelled certainly at Crufts and other dog-based scenarios of pedigree breeds and so on is that if you pure breed to really fine-tune the scenario, it can be positive, but it can also have lots of genetic difficulties for the animals in question. Whereas what you've just said with respect to lurchers, I won't mention the mongrel word from that point of view, I just have, but in terms of that scenario, you do get sort of more intelligence from the sort of the cross-breeding that takes place.
Well, lurchers, of course, are just really bred for a type.
Yeah.
As to really anything much more specific.
Yes. Yeah.
And as I said, I have a purebred sight hound, which is an Irish wolfhound. Mm. Is she any less intelligent? No. But obviously, like a lot of pedigree dogs, there are, they do actually have genetic problems.
Mm.
And that isn't just around Irish wolfhounds, it's most pedigree breeds full stop these days.
Sure.
Because the gene pool is quite small for a lot of them.
Mm.
And that tends to be when you get more of the problems actually showing up.
Yeah.
Whereas, of course, with lurchers, generally what they're trying to do is actually breed from something that works reasonably well to something that breeds reasonably well.
Well, I've got to say as well, Sharon, that the speed of some of these beasts are phenomenal, because when they actually chase after the little red piece of cloth or the various other things, it's almost as though it's greased lightning, as John Travolta would have said. Amazing, really.
I think, yes, it is. Although, having my own lurcher, and I used to own an ex-racing greyhound, although he never actually raced, he was used for coursing at some stage and then was promptly put out on the street. But the lurcher side of it, I'd have to say, I've taken a little bit of the speed out of him. But he is much more willing to work, whereas your greyhounds, they'll work a couple of times for you, by and large, but you get more speed with them, but less willingness to maybe repeat the whole thing.
It is interesting, because I know one of the questions that's often put to us, and we've obviously relayed it to greyhound trusts up and down the country, is, oh, I'm not a really active person. I mean, I don't mind the occasional walk, but if I take a greyhound, I'll just be dragged after it left, right, and centre. Actually, that's not the case. They're not only quite intelligent, but they tend to almost be the case of, bring me my slippers now, chaps, etc. It's, you know, once they've actually retired, they do chill out. They don't necessarily sort of go like the clappers every time when you walk them out.
Well, I would have to say that for the majority of sighthounds, they are exceptionally easy to live with. They don't particularly make any great demands on you when they're actually in the house. But then when you're ready to go out, they're usually with you straight away.
Yeah.
They see you pulling on your boots and they're already at the door.
Exactly, yeah. They can move fast.
As soon as they get back in, it's, where's the bed?
Exactly. It's understandable. I can identify totally with respect to that. In the studio, we also have Dee Wold. Dee is one of our regular commercial producers, and a whole range of other factors as well. Dee, any questions for Sharon about Long Nose Day?
Yes, actually, you mentioned earlier that there are classes for greyhounds this weekend. What type of things would you be actually teaching the greyhounds?
Well, these are really just sort of like fun things, so they don't have to actually particularly do anything, only look exceptionally good.
They get judged, you see. It's not kind of like a tutorial for them.
Right.
It's an understandable mistake, often sort of made when I was doing my early first country shows and classes. You know, where's the overhead projector transparency? Where's the whiteboard?
Well, I was thinking what would be left to actually teach them, you know, because
exactly,
they're greyhounds.
High energy physics. You know? Today we have a class in social training. Now, I mean, it's technically used, Sharon can correct me on this particular routine, that you will have the opportunity, or the owners will have the opportunity, to see where in the particular class their greyhound will come. It might be attitude, it might be grooming, it might be speed. I mean, what are the categories that you're using in terms of the classes, Sharon?
We've got some that are just sort of like based on colours. So we've got like best black, best brindle, because it's quite difficult to find another category really for greyhounds to sort of like sit under.
Yeah.
And then we've got veteran, which is dogs over 7 but under 10. And then veteran 10 years and over. Because obviously greyhounds, because the genetic pool is actually quite wide, they do tend to live that little bit longer. So we should get a number of greyhounds in the over 10-year category.
And certainly those over 10s, they're still pretty sort of okay looking. I mean, it's not a case of we're wheeling out the Chelsea pensioners of the greyhound world. They don't come on Zimmer frames. They are of, you know,
oh, no, definitely not. I mean, certainly with my own greyhound, it was only when he actually got to about 10 that he decided he couldn't manage the 2 1-hour walks with the wolfhounds, and that just one would suit him there. Thank you very much.
Exactly.
But we do have handsomest dog. The girl's looking good. Dog in best condition. Nicest head. Best 6 legs. So that is handler and dog together.
I'm always conscious, Sharon, in many cases, and I was covering the Duncan Park Country Fair a couple of weeks ago, when indeed our very own Beady, the Southside adopted horse that we've been following through the season, went into classes, etc. So much depends on the judge. I mean, let's take sort of nicest head. I mean, I can see greyhounds thinking, my head's absolutely magnificent. Mwah! And they do have an attitude, you know, it's just look at this head, etc. A judge comes along thinking, no, it's rubbish. What criteria do folk look at in terms of this? Because I know sometimes the judging can be not quite a source of controversy, but it can raise one or two issues.
Oh, it certainly can. And I think the thing is that when you go in for competitions like this, the best way to think about it is, do you know what, we're probably not going to win this, but my dog is still the best anyway, no matter what anyone else says. Because judging is, by definition, it's an individual's opinion on the day.
Yeah. And I can often sort of identify with greyhounds who've come out thinking, I didn't get a rosette, I'm a failure. No, you're still loved. Just because you didn't get a rosette doesn't mean to say you have to go into therapy. It's okay.
Yes. Yeah. So on the grace side, you do also have a class for Sunday called Boldest Bum.
I could have sworn you said boldest bum there, Sharon.
Boldest bum, yes.
Boldest bum.
Boldest bum, yes.
Right, yeah. What can one say?
That's because a lot of the greyhounds, especially when they first go into new homes, they've maybe lost a lot of their fur, actually on the rear end.
Yes.
So we'll give them a rosette for the one who has probably got the least covering on the back.
Baldest bum I could possibly go in for myself, but no, it's a different line. perhaps I'd best not go there. Too much information. Never mind.
There are answers to that, but it's maybe best not to.
Exactly, yes. This is absolutely sensational. Is there a web address where people can actually find out about Long Nose Day and obviously how to get there and where is it and so on over this coming weekend?
But the Lincolnshire Greyhound Trust do actually have it on their website under events.
Excellent.
Or people could always email me at martinshow@gmail.com.
Okay, that's fine from that point of view. So that's, I suggest go straight away, use search engines to go to Lincolnshire Greyhound Trust and you'll find out about Long Nose Day. And Sharon, where is this thing taking place?
It is being held at Martin Village Hall. We're actually on the ground just behind the village hall because we won't fit all the dogs in the hall itself.
Yep.
Near Gainsborough. So it's about 5 miles out from Gainsborough.
Yeah.
About half an hour from Lincoln.
Yep. And about similar distance from Scunthorpe as well, really. So
it's sort of like fairly central for most of the catchment.
Yep.
Area.
So make your way to Martin, and I know I think that a couple of our Southside freelance producers might be making their way there as well to follow the whole thing through. It is the 7th Long Nose Day that's taking place. Presumably there'll be an 8th. Is it a case of people already want to start putting this in their diaries for 2013?
Oh yes, definitely. But we shall definitely be carrying on with the event. The other thing that dogs can do on the day is that they can have a go at agility. So we've got extra large tunnel for all the really big dogs so that they can get through, as well as all the standard stuff.
The supersized dogs. The
supersized
dogs, basically.
The supersized dogs, yeah. So they don't have to bend down to get through that itty-bitty little tunnel.
I've found that trouble myself so often,
me
really.
Too.
Never mind.
And we also have what they call speed jumping, which is fastest recall over straw bales.
Oh, so you see, I mean, that sort of routine you can actually sell in terms of judging. It's a case of, look, don't argue with the clock. It's a stopwatch thing.
Exactly,
bang,
yes.
Sort it through. Yes. And I do know that...
I guess a lot of people will be happy to know that actually most of the greyhounds believe that's beneath them to even try.
Yeah. I can see...
It does give all the other breeds a bit of a chance of winning that.
Excellent point. I know that, I think Hannah O'Brien, one of our correspondents, she found the concept of dog agility quite amusing when we were covering the recent Bramham International Horse Trials where they had a dog agility set up there, so it's amazing stuff. Sharon, it's been splendid just touching base with you. Just again, in terms of numbers, obviously we know it's this weekend, it's taking place the 16th and 17th of June 2012. So if you listen to this as live, there's a chance to actually pass on the whole routine. If it's coming up as a podcast afterwards, we'll think about 2013. It's four the Lincolnshire Greyhound Trust profits will be going to do that. What is the cost if people are thinking of breaking the family down? What sort of things do they need to be aware of, etc., in terms of entering the hall?
Well, parking is absolutely free. We start taking entries from 11 o'clock, and judging kicks off at 12:30. And it's usually about £1 per class. Some of the lurcher classes, because the qualifier is slightly different, but the majority of classes are £1 a go. And we also do have a photographic competition if anybody wants to get anything into us. There's two categories, called On the Run and Court Jester.
Marvellous. Just a little question, Mark. Is the court jester category the one where owners like to dress their dogs up as characters ranging from the royal family through to English footballers?
Well, it could be anything.
Yeah.
It's all in the interpretation.
What's not to love when you got your little pooch dressed as the Prime Minister David Cameron? It's amazing, you know? Never mind.
Yes, that would be wonderful if we can find someone to do that.
We'll work our way through that.
But instead, all we need is actually the photograph, so you don't even need to... you can bring your dog along dressed like that. That's not a problem. But you don't need to. Yeah. Just the photo.
And if you're listening, we don't want dogs humiliated in this. It's got to be positive, you know. You've got to think Lady and the Tramp here. Think, you know, grace under pressure. That's the important thing. But slight eccentricity. Sharon, it's been absolutely fantastic getting a sniff of the delightful scenario.
Oh, Alex! Alex!
It's the balls behind that's... getting a different line on this. I don't know. Excess sniffing. But we've got two final crucial questions for you. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on this, your debut, Sharon, on Southside Broadcasting today?
I have. Thank you very much. It's been very interesting.
So can we look forward to hopefully connecting with you again in the very near future? And who knows, maybe doing a little location report feature with you and the fabulous work of Long Nose Day for the Lincolnshire Greyhound Trust in the not-too-distant future.
That would be lovely. Thank you.
Sharon Lake, we salute you. Many thanks indeed.
Thank you very much.